Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Hello, Star Wars fans, and welcome to Popcorn Talk Network's Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. We are your hosts. I'm first the Internet's Soapbox Mark, and of course, Joseph Scrimshaw.
Hello.
And today's show, we got some fun stuff going on. D23 just wrapped up.
Yes.
A couple of us on the panel were on it. And, well, let's introduce our guests. Why not? Why don't we do that?
Absolutely.
best way to continue. John Rocha, been on the show before. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Where can the folks find you on Twitter if they want to tweet at you during the show?
At the Rocha Says, T-H-E-R-O-C-H-A-S-A-Y-S.
Please don't actually check your Twitter during the show, though. Wow. We would like your entire focus.
Okay. Entirely unprofessional while I check.
Direct your charisma over here, not into your phone during the show.
And joining us for the first time, Claudia Dolph.
Hi.
Where can the folks find you?
At Claudia Dolph, D-O-L-P-H, not F.
Keeping it super simple. As we do with newcomers on the show, we have the 5/6 questions, most important Star Wars questions of all time.
That's right. So, Claudia, we are going to ask you the 5 questions. Do you feel prepared?
Yeah.
The 5 questions that are actually 6?
So, the 5/6 questions.
Excellent. The first question is, what was the first time you saw a Star Wars movie? And, secretly, a 7th question, what is your favorite?
Surprises abound.
Okay. So, I don't know if this is a made-up memory that I have or if this actually happened. I think it actually happened. So, my first memory is going to see Empire with my parents, but I would have been 2.
Okay.
But I have a memory of being in pajamas, like sitting on my mom's lap watching this. So, I don't know. Parents, you can comment.
Yeah.
Did this happen?
I think when you're that young, you have those tiny flashes.
I do,
and then as
yeah.
you go through life, they get filled in and become like real fake memories.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So I don't know if that's my first memory, sort of. And then I guess the real memory would be watching Jedi all the time at my uncle's house. He lived with us in like a little back house. And so we were always there watching Jedi every single night.
Did you choose Jedi? Was that because it was your favorite?
Or
is that just what your
favorites.
Weird uncle in the back room wanted to watch?
I think that's just what he always had on. He had that and he had a Madonna's...
Go on.
This is great.
Material Girl single.
Sure.
Okay.
That I would secretly listen to.
Sounds about right.
So it wasn't like a twofer where you would walk in, listen to Material Girl, and then watch Return of the Jedi.
The Battle of Endor with that most special soundtrack going on.
Put that on and watch the Ewoks.
And is Jedi your favorite then because of this?
No. Empire is my favorite.
Awesome.
I know it's whatever everybody says it is, but I really love it.
It's because it's true.
Yeah.
Some people have certain memories of a certain movie, but it's still Empire's Empire.
Right.
So, it's great. It's great. I mean,
who would your favorite character be?
Darth Vader.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why is what makes Darth Vader your favorite character?
I mean, I don't think that he's all bad.
Yeah, there's been some discussion of that in the Star Wars universe.
I feel like I could have been like a pretty cool girlfriend for him or something.
Wow. Okay, so do you think that you could have got him to turn out differently?
No, I don't want him different. I want him as he is.
Because you don't like Anakin. Your favorite character is Darth Vader, not Anakin.
Right.
So
correct.
You want him to turn.
I want him to be bad.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you would want to be Darth Vader's girlfriend.
Yeah, like I want to be his Lady Macbeth.
Are we getting the wind up? Wait, no. Lady Macbeth means you drove him insane.
Well, partially. I want to get him to the next step.
Right.
I want to get rid of Senator Palpatine and get him up there.
Right, so
super
he
ambitious.
Comes back to his meditation chamber, and you're like hanging out in there saying,
like,
don't mope around, go kill Palpatine.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome.
He's still breathing.
Now I just want to see an adapted version of Macbeth with Star Wars.
It is there.
Well, I mean, I know they've rewritten all of the main 3 movies in Shakespearean language, but I mean,
you go to there's a theater circuit called the Fringe Festival, which are little experimental shows. Mm-hmm. I was very involved with the Minnesota Fringe Festival. Go to anyone, and you'll see Star Wars mashed up with almost anything you can think of.
Excellent.
Sort of Rule 34 level mashup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Claudia, next question is: what is your favorite quote?
Well, Yoda always has the best quotes. I also teach yoga. So
I'm sorry, Lee. You said that as though it was a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
No, because of that, I do a Yoda quote every week as part of my class. So I think right now my favorite is, the classic fear leads to the dark side.
Okay. So Do you have it memorized?
Fear leads to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate
leads to the dark side.
No, there's some suffering in there. We skipped suffering.
No. Hate leads to suffering.
Yes.
Yeah, which I think is actually a really good thing to tell yourself on a daily basis.
Yeah. So now, when you have a group of people ready to do yoga, do you do an actual full Yoda impression?
No.
We're going to get very peaceful and Zen now.
Not because I don't want to. Not because I don't want to, because I can't. But I would if I could.
And now downward dog. Salute the sun you will.
I'm going to bring you in for a class.
Hard to come up with that, the terrible Yoda impression anyway, for myself. What would your favorite force power be? What would you use on like a daily basis?
Being a physical person, because I used to be a dancer as well, I think anything that has to do with the movement, they have some pretty bad or cool stunts that they almost cursed. Sorry.
Shut your mouth. Let's talk about Star Wars.
They're pretty, stunt-wise, I think they got it made, they can...
Phew. Was there a swear word that you had in mind to say instead of?
No, that was for our audio listeners.
Okay. They can jump high? Is that,
yes, they can jump high. Thank you for words, Joseph.
Oh, you're welcome. So is that your... if you could do anything, it would be jumping
the
high.
The art of movement, I think. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Running really fast from the beginning of Phantom Menace.
You can only do it once in a while, as we understand.
It's like a meter. You got to recharge it.
Yeah. And now, you've kind of already answered this question, but would you turn to the dark side?
Yes.
Wow. She's wearing a shirt that says, come to the dark side. She's there.
That's true.
We haven't finished the question yet, ma'am.
Yes.
All right, should we move on to the final question then?
Might as well. So, this fall, we've got The Force Awakens coming out. Will you cry at any point?
I've been crying.
Already?
Go ahead.
How early do you think the music is going to hit and the scroll is going to start and that's it? And you're going to be gone?
I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
Wow. I lost it with the prequels, right? Started the music and the scroll and oh my gosh.
I'll be honest with you, I cried for different reasons during the prequels.
I understand. I think everybody cried in an open, honest way at when you first saw it in the movie began.
Sure.
Those of us who were alive when the original trilogy came out and it was that return, certainly.
Chills, tears.
Now, did you cry at the release of the trailer with Chewie We're Home?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever cry just like when you're out, in the world doing business and then you think of the trailer? Do you just spontaneously cry out in the world?
No, not yet.
Okay. I've gotten close. I brought it up for a reason.
There was something about watching that teaser again in the D23 crowd that just I'm seeing this among people and all of the emotions are high and Harrison's there. And I was almost there.
Yeah.
But it was still just still just a trailer. But
you're saving it.
Saving it. I've got a reservoir just of tears and saltiness that I'm just going to save.
You have more moisture inside you than Los Angeles does.
I'm outwardly humid. That's terrible.
Awesome. Well, thank you. We've got to know Claudia. We're going to move on to news from the Holonet, which is going to be the bulk of our show today. Mm-hmm. The D23 Awakens, we are calling it, because there's just so much to talk about that happened at D23 and all of our little feelings about it. Now, Mark, you were there, right?
I was there, and so was John.
And John, you were there as well. So just kind of to kick it off before we get in all of the news stuff, what was your general experience of being there? Was it a fun convention, or was it more just here is an enormous amount of news from Disney about everything?
No, my honest opinion is it was almost better than Comic-Con in a way that it was more controlled and focused and centralized.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were just on message about what they were doing. And the stuff you got to see, you didn't feel overwhelmed. Even the auditoriums didn't feel overwhelming, which I liked. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice and spread out. You had enough space to move around in and communicate. And I just got a general vibe that people were more excited. Do you know what I'm saying? To experience it and do all of this stuff. So I loved it for that reason. And this is my first time going.
Cool.
I've been every D23 since its inception. Yeah. The convention's really grown.
Yeah.
This year was the first time they used the entirety of the convention center in Anaheim, which is huge.
Yes.
Yeah. They're definitely more organized than Comic-Con.
Yeah.
All of the staff, super friendly. Yep, if right. there were any problems with crowd control, they would change.
Yep.
With the lining up on Friday morning as opposed to Saturday morning for the Saturday morning stuff was a completely different experience yeah. each time. So in terms of staff and just attitude, I'd agree. It's definitely a lot more positive of a convention. Yeah. There's always the scalpers and the snipers trying to get into every little thing and get as much exclusive merchandise to resell as possible.
Sort of the bounty hunters
yeah, the
of
bounty
D23.
The bounty hunters of the Congoing community. But aside from that, in terms of the information, everybody just seemed... I mean, every presenter started their bit with, I'm so happy to be here yeah, at D23. Yeah. And they were like, oh, okay, we've done this bit like five times now. Just please get on with Dr. Strange.
No one more than Bryce Dallas Howard.
She was.
I thought she was a walking Disney commercial. It was amazing.
Did they use really? The stand-up technique of just like, let's keep it going for Harrison Ford? Or
kind of. for the Star Wars bit, they did.
Yeah.
She's like, all right, let's just, hey, everybody. And yeah. Johnny Depp, especially when he came out as Jack Sparrow. Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous. Just like, Johnny Depp, everybody. Captain yeah. Jack Sparrow. Everybody's like, I guess I'm leaving. All right, bye, everybody.
But what was great about the convention, too, is that with those presentations and the panels, is you saw the delineation of power within their universes.
Okay.
When Bob Iger can come out on the stage and go, J.J., Harrison, and the rest of the cast, okay, you guys can get off now. I got to make my big announcement. That's power.
Wow.
That's power.
Nobody messes with Bob.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, they all said, oh, yeah. And he made a joke about, well, you know, I own the stage. And then he was like, oh, just joking. I was like,
I signed the famous people's checks.
Yeah.
Wow, cool. Insane. Well, that's a perfect segue to our first actual item of news, which is got to be the most exciting thing to you as a huge Disney fan, right? The
yeah.
Star Wars Land theme park.
Yeah. And not just that. Like, they said, hey, at the end of the movie panel was like, by the way, Star Wars Land. But then I got right back in line for the theme park panel where they announced the Star Wars stuff is going to start at the very latest 2017. Late 2017.
Yeah. So that's when the whole new park will open?
No, that's when they're going to, at the very latest, they're going to start building.
Okay.
So we're probably looking at like 2019, 2020 sort of a thing for an actual opening. But they announced, while we're waiting for that, we're going to be getting Star Wars experiences at both of the U.S. parks. Mm-hmm. Star Tours is going to get a new thing. Ken wouldn't stop making fun of me about that. and Space Mountain is going to get a Star Wars overlay, and it's just going to be Star Wars everything this fall. And I'm very happy that I renewed my annual pass because the prices are probably going to skyrocket.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole environment that they showed. What did you guys think of the fact that this isn't going to be like, oh, we're going to Hoth, we're going to Endor. It's going to be its own planet on the Outer Rim that we get a chance to visit.
I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be amazing. You know, as a pass holder myself, I'm super stoked. Because when they did Cars Land, you know, everybody was kind of like, oh, okay. And then it's beautiful.
It is.
It is a fun experience, and it's gorgeous. So I'm totally stoked that they're... I mean, it's about time, too, right? I mean, Star Tours has been there forever. So,
yeah,
I'm super excited for it to be its own sort of thing, you know?
That was the only time I got emotional.
Okay.
Because that's... If you go back to being 5 years old, and I went to Harry Potter Land early this year, that's one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had.
Is
I didn't want to leave.
Just the full immersion where you don't really feel like you're in the real world anymore that's so powerful?
You can literally just forget that you're in the real world. Mm-hmm. And people are acting as if they're in that world so believably that you buy in and you're like, I don't want to leave. I don't ever want to leave.
Even though there's like a really stereotypical like tourist, you know, taking photos or standing in the middle of everything and getting in the way when you're trying to get your wand.
You're actually visiting that town.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I went into the wand shop. I was like, this is so awesome. I mean, I just was like, this is, and I'm not even a massive Harry Potter fan.
I was going to say,
it was just,
like Harry Potter? Like, no, I just want to be in a different world.
Harry, Bob, and Gracie, the three kids from Harry Potter.
I mean, I love their old radio show. Yeah.
Behind all of us, I think, is with our love of this stuff, is this desire to experience those kinds of worlds
totally,
viscerally.
Yeah, to be inside it. So, yeah, that was the question that I wanted to ask on this kind of round robin. Yeah. What do you want to be able to experience within the Star Wars universe when you're in this Star Wars Land, when you're immersed?
Snack Aquarium.
Is it Jabba's Snack Aquarium?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The thing that this is kind of a joke, but I also think would be like a really fun detail is if just kind of like hidden everywhere, like behind grates in different places and in like benches with various severed hands and arms to just pay tribute to how often limbs are severed in Star Wars.
So we're not allowed to cuss when you talk about dismemberment. That's okay.
That's an essential part of Star Wars. Dismemberment is the main theme of Star Wars in some ways.
No, yeah, I mean, there would be, I don't know.
What about a Gungan underwater adventure?
Sure. I mean, that would be literally immersive to have to be going underwater. Yeah.
Gungan SeaWorld?
Yeah. I mean, they have the Nemo ride.
The Gungans pop up. Just, so you would want to go to like a water...
Yeah, put a water experience. Do something good with that wretched storyline.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they showed they said that Iger is the one who did the presentation. He said that the... everything that's going to be there is going to be run by people who are characters.
And right, so you're going to be
every town's going to be on stage.
Yeah, and that's amazing because that means the canteen. They said they're going to talk about a canteen. There's going to be a cantina. The way it looked is just fantastic.
Do you guys think that they're going to change any liquor policies so you can actually have like a space martini in the cantina?
I don't think you can.
No.
On that side.
Yeah, I know you're, I think you're a Disney expert on the panel.
If anything, the... they're going to probably make a new nighttime club atmosphere that they do at California Adventure that they have that's called the Mad Tea Party. They just retheme it to Star Wars, and then that's where you can get all your booze and stuff. And
nice. Yeah, I will go to there. What do you want to be immersed in? What do you want to experience from the Star Wars universe?
Everything. Really. Like everything. From the early rumors that there's going to be a meet and greet on the Millennium Falcon, and now it's going to be a ride where you get to pilot the Millennium Falcon. Like, And I'm interested to hear how they immerse you in the middle of a Star Wars battle, if that's going to be a ride or if that's going to be an actual experience where you're like, all right, you guys have just been recruited by the Rebel Alliance.
Right.
Here we go.
Right.
And it's like a laser tag fight or something. I'm like, they can't hit you anyway. It's stormtroopers.
But I really think they're going to change that in all the new media. I think I said this last week. I think they're so sick of that joke.
Yeah.
They're going to be the deadliest thing ever.
In all honesty, the fact that it's going to be so immersive with all of the different species. That's going to be the thing where, like you mentioned with Harry Potter, that everything's just going to melt away and you're going to be able to be in this galaxy far, far away.
Can I make two requests?
Yeah.
I want two things at the new theme park. I want a Greedo quick draw game.
A Greedo quick draw game.
And then I want them to combine 40X with Oculus Rift and create an Attack on the Death Star experience.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
I would love to watch people doing that, just having the goggles strapped on.
That's a separate ride.
Oh, that would damn be... it, I'm Red 5 again.
The Greedo thing would be a great way for them to finally buckle and release both the original editions and the special editions, and it just depends on if you win.
That's the one.
If you can shoot Greedo first, you can get a DVD Blu-ray copy of the theatrical edition of the original trilogy. That would be really cool.
That would be fun.
Well, you can see all the worlds are going to explode because all the images they showed, it just really looks fantastic.
Yeah, and it seems like, I could be, please feel free to correct me, but it seems like before in Disney, your experiences have been a lot of sort of like, there's Darth Vader, there's R2-D2, and it sounds like it'll be really cool to just be like, here are a bunch of random aliens.
They've been doing that more and more in the parks, like for Buena Vista Street, which just opened up in California Adventure. They just have citizens of the town, like they're in the 1940s, that just come up and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. And in Halloween, they have like undead people from the from the Tower of Terror come by and talk. So they've been doing this for a little while.
Okay.
So that's the most interesting thing is just like, who are you? What are you? And why are you interesting? Just talk. Let's just talk.
Yeah.
14 acres though. This is a huge piece of property.
14 acres.
They talked about they're not going to tear down Toontown, which is the original rumor. It's going to be, there's a little celebration area in the middle of Frontierland that's rarely used. So that's going to be used as the gateway, and they're going to get rid of a bunch of backstage stuff. So nothing's really going away, and there's just going to be giant, from the looks of the art, it's just giant trees as if you're on Endor, or part of it's going to be forest, part of it's going to be this. Like, it looks like it's going to be all of the different biomes that we're familiar with in the Star Wars universe, which are just
kind of
to see
mashed into one planet thematically.
Yeah, it's a town before the Outer Rim, so it's a trade town, so it's got to have a lot of different elements for all of the people who are living there before they go off, before they boldly go, as they say.
So in Star Trek, so it's going to be sort of like Star Wars Las Vegas, where like all of the little worlds are recreated.
Sure.
You know how like Las Vegas, you go, oh, there's the Eiffel Tower, and oh, there's this.
Arguably,
interesting.
I would say that,
but better.
But better.
Okay, should we move on? Any any other thoughts on?
It's very reminiscent of the Rebels, right? That Rebels town that they have that Ezra seems to always come back to. Same thing. The port town, trade, doing trades, all those kinds of things. They got the stand set up, so why not? We've got that idea already in our heads, and it's one of the famous lines that Kenobi says, right? This town is full of like a...
The wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yeah.
It'll be cool to see if it is scum and villainy or if it is just a little bit nicer like on Rebels, where like, it's just people trying to get by in the galaxy, you know?
Just buy my purple fruit.
this Wookiee just needs some purple fruit.
What would you guys pay for a ticket to Star Wars Land?
Well, it's $150.
A hand? Yeah. I would pay. I think they're going to be able to charge a lot.
The
tickets now for one day, one park are $100 and change.
Yeah.
So by the time we get there, it's probably going to be $150 a day.
Yeah.
At least.
I suspect it'll be started around 150, so it's more, but not
get
so
your
much.
Passes.
That,
yeah, get your passes now. Everybody's going to run to the back of the park first thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Right.
Cool.
I won't be there for a year after it opens. I don't know, because there's no one. It'll be 5-hour waits, and you won't be able to see everything, right?
Yeah, for Cars Land, what was that line for beginning?
Their headline ride was about 2-3 hours when first opened.
Yeah. Single rider that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, should we move on to our next bullet point there?
We should. So people who attended the live action panel were gifted an exclusive Drew Struzan original. Yay.
Yeah.
And if we can bring the image up, there are a couple of fun things on there to notice. Again, the staff is front and center, literally.
Yeah.
You got to wonder if that's going to be any sort of if they're going to bring up that it's not just the staff.
Yeah.
And then also we see Finn with a blue lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of the big reveal.
A fan tweeted me, it kind of looks like Luke's lightsaber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How far did Luke's hand travel after Empire Strikes Back?
Well, yeah, they've certainly dealt with that in, you know, what is now Legends of people actually retrieving Luke's lightsaber in hand. And I think they're going to revisit, now that they've rebooted everything, that they're going to revisit some of those story points because they're kind of logical ones to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I actually did a literal double take where I saw this image on the internet. It's like, oh, cool, it's the characters we've already met. Cool. And then I was like, hey, wait. There was something else there.
Yep.
So what did you guys think of when you saw the lightsaber? Did it register with you as like, this is important new information? Or was that like the main focus for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say immediately. Yeah. I was like, oh, blue lightsaber. Oh, what's that? Where did it come from? Yeah.
Well, because every image before him, we'd be seeing him with the blaster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah, and in general, with like the dressed up as a stormtrooper, kind of his look.
Yeah.
His look suggests more like on the sort of smuggler Han Solo side of things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it more in the game stuff. But even his figure for Disney Infinity is him with a rifle.
Yeah.
So that even they're going that far to not talk about him having a lightsaber being a Jedi.
Yeah, so it makes me also wonder if they are doing sort of gentle misdirects, or at least just trying to cause people on podcasts to have long conversations about things that ultimately aren't true, if they're being intentional about it, or if they kind of don't care if some things get leaked out.
Go ahead.
Oh, there was an interesting thing that we were talking about, the Disney Infinity panel. Mm-hmm. They came out to introduce their Disney Infinity characters, Daisy Ridley and John Boyega. John Boyega said, yeah, well, I've got the baddest weapon on the planet or in the universe, right?
Yeah.
But then Daisy chimed in and was like, well, you can have the baddest weapon. I'm the badass. And when she said that, and she said it in a kind of like a truthful reestablishing her power in this dynamic way. But to me, that was a reveal that that staff is going to be way more than we think it is, and she's going to be way more integral than we think it is. And it's becoming a thing, right? The female superhero is starting to become a very central part of a lot of mythology.
Yeah.
So it would not surprise. I mean, she's front and center. She's below. Yeah. She's above Han. She's in front of Boyega. She's in front of Kylo Ren. That tells you, like, she is going to be a very, very important part of this movie.
Yeah. And are you guys excited to see just the artwork by Drew Struzan? I've heard some people discussing, like, oh, I'm really excited to see this. And other people are saying, like, well, it reminds me of the prequels, that obviously a lot of people didn't like. Because that's kind of the last time that we saw this style of artwork.
Reminds me of Indiana Jones,
more so than that. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Or Blade Runner. I mean, he did the same kind of thing.
The great thing is, while it is, like, it's a really thick stock of the paper, but even then you can see all of the strokes on it.
Oh,
from the original painting.
Wow. So that's like, awesome.
It's so cool.
Han's face. Yeah. I love it. I love the expression. I love all the emotion that you, it's just so gorgeous. It's beautiful.
And of course, people in the chat are telling us, do not forget that Kylo Ren is in that shot.
Yeah.
Look
that
at how domineering that dude is. Yeah. And he's got the TIE fighters coming up. Just a whole bunch of fun there.
Well, yeah, I think Kylo Ren is a great segue to the next thing we wanted to talk about there. This wasn't really at D23, but the Entertainment Weekly released a bunch of photos.
Wait, are we moving past the poster?
Oh, but if you have something more to say,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, the two moons, the two suns.
The two suns. Yeah. Oh, yes.
There's rumors going around that Jakku is really Tatooine, is the Empire's word for Tatooine.
That they have just rebranded everything?
Yeah. They're just been calling that on set so it doesn't leak and stuff.
Okay. Right. Well, how do you guys feel like about that if it's true?
It's certainly they've given you every indication that it is.
That's what I thought when I first saw the trailer. Yeah. Absolutely, immediately I thought that was Tatooine.
The land is the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that there's two suns there. I mean, all of it just speaks to the possibility that it is definitely Tatooine.
But do you feel at all having like the rug pulled out from under you of, hey, exciting news! Here's this new planet's name. A lot of the content that's coming out that's their early non-spoilery, like we revealed Jakku, so we're going to do stuff with that. That's going to be all of this downloadable content. Will you feel a little annoyed if it's just Tatooine?
No,
just Tatooine. Yeah. We're getting a new Star Wars movie, Joseph.
That was me at my most lawyery, where I think I was trying to put my opinion in your mouth, and I apologize for that.
I think what's fascinating about what you're saying is. I think us as older fans, we understand it, right? Kids might feel a little bit betrayed, but us, we're like, well, they've been rebranding everything. The Empire is now the First Order.
Yeah.
The Rebels now the Resistance, right? All these things are being rebranded over and over again. So to me, it just fits the pattern of what they're doing. And they're also repeating a desert planet and an ice planet, right?
Yeah, or at least a snow planet.
A snow planet, rather.
A snowy forest planet, yeah. Right, it's probably just the moon of Endor at wintertime.
JJ has said.
It's Endor.
Oh God,
Life Day Endor.
Not that special again.
Yeah.
Not that special.
No.
But JJ has been saying over and over again that he wants to go back to the original trilogy, and everything is just giving you that feeling.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say my opinion straight out instead of trying to put it in your mouth. I apologize for that.
No.
I would really like to see a balance of old stuff and new stuff. That's what I'm most excited about is when it manages to merge both. And I just don't want the movie to just be. To feel like fan service because it's just like, you like this, you like this, you like this. And the stuff that I'm seeing that excites me is this stuff that looks like that is absolutely Star Wars, but a corner of the universe that we never saw before.
Right.
Like, I love, this is a dumb little detail, but I love Rey's big chunky speeder.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen a design like that, but it makes sense.
Yep.
And
right.
It's those kind of images that really, really excite me. So I hope that if there's something with Jakku, Tatooine, that maybe they're just in the same system and we've just never heard about it.
It's like in the city of Jakku on Tatooine.
Oh, true.
That could be. Absolutely.
The other side of the planet.
There you go. New with the old. There you go, Joseph.
Yeah.
That's a little lawyery for me, too.
That's a very certain point of view.
It is a very certain point of view. Yes. Any other thoughts? Thanks for pointing that out, John. Any other thoughts on the Struisen poster
that's
before
you? That jumped out at me. I was like, oh! That's really
honestly.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm just happy to go back and look at that when I get home.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Kylo Ren in general. But so our next point of discussion was the Entertainment Weekly photos and the action figure leaks. And we're sort of bringing it up to say we're not going to talk about them too much. Ken Knapsack started a proud tradition here on the Jedi Alliance show where we like to speculate like we just did. But Ken felt, and I feel, and Mark feels as well as hosts, that we don't want to just straight up in a magazine just read, here is this big piece of information about the plot or about the characters.
Right.
Even when it's revealed to us as, oh, we hadn't mentioned before, but maybe Captain Phasma has a relationship with X and will be on planet Y, then to me, for my mind, I start connecting. And I only want to connect so much before I see the movie. And we want to let fans make their own choice about whether they hear things that kind of tip into spoilers or tip into leaks. But for the Entertainment Weekly stuff that was out there, like the photos, I will say that, you know, I looked at the photos. I didn't read any of the spoilers. I looked at the action figures, but we're not going to put them up. But Kylo Ren was really starting to excite me, just the amount of visuals of him.
He's. I mean, as we saw in the poster, he's definitely showing himself to be more, or they're showing him to be more of a of such an overlooking figure.
Yeah.
And so many people like what was his organization called? Not the First Order, but isn't it the not the Knights of Ren, but the
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I saw that, and then I tried to wipe that out of my mind. But
it's like
that's
but
the
it's
first
in there
time
now.
Hearing of it, thanks.
Yeah. Well.
It is. It's a very weird, awkward line to draw, but when it straight up says spoiler or leak, I try not to look too much myself.
See, that's the thing is, I didn't look at any of this.
Right.
And I was just hearing the secondhand for people.
But a part of me likes to almost hear it more secondhand because it reminds me of being a kid where you just hear something secondhand on the playground.
Yeah,
and like, this
oh,
is like,
that's not true. That can't be true. I don't believe you.
And I would, if I'm going to hear something spoilery, I'm rather like, well, you know what Mark Donica told me when we were talking about Star Wars?
Oh, please, let
he told me
that
about
guy.
The Knights of Ren. No, I mean it in a good way. That's much better than, I didn't have pants on, I was eating a donut and looking at my computer, and then I read a huge spoiler for Star Wars. Like, there's nothing exciting about it.
Choked just, on the donut, lost the donut.
Yeah.
But
to your point about how cool Kylo Ren is and the fans' point, I'm really starting to feel that way looking at Kylo Ren about he is a great combination of the new and the old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited for Captain Phasma.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Being a tall girl myself. I'm super. And being a fan of the dark side, I'm super excited for, her badass self. I can say badass? I just made myself really nervous.
No, it's fine.
Joseph's going to strike me.
No.
Strike you down.
We need to have a conversation. I'm Vader, and I'm going to be struck. Wait, we need to have a conversation about your choices.
That's the next one.
Yeah, I think so.
No, I don't like the spoilers either. I try to, and I host the Far, Far Away over on Geek Nation, and I try very, 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 like, diligently to not read any spoiler speculation, sure.
Yeah.
Spoilers? No. And I sometimes get mad at people that make a real concerted effort. Why are you trying to ruin it? Like, enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the waiting. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
Yeah, that is the fun part. We've forgotten sometimes in this age of, and I'm fine with technology and rapid information. I think that's great. But the other side, the flip side, unfortunately, sometimes you get information you don't want to have quickly because you want to enjoy stuff, you know?
Yeah, it can just be hard to enjoy movies and TV shows sort of the way you want to enjoy them. Yeah.
Right. Like, if we don't have anything else come out about Force Awakens, I'd be quite happy.
Yeah, and it's only a few months away.
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
we're so close at this point. I'm with you. I don't want to see any spoilers. I don't want to,
I think we're just getting one more trailer, is what they announced in September, October.
And I suspect that will have some bigger reveals of the things that we haven't seen much.
Just the last little push at the end of the first act sort of a thing, or at least I hope.
Yeah, I think something that kind of ties some of these plots together, probably some of the things that are in these Entertainment Weekly points that I'm not reading, or probably, I think, a big Luke reveal.
We don't know.
Yeah, that's what I suspect for the trip.
No spoilers. One of the things that we got from the live action panel was the confirmation. It was rumored that Colin Trevorrow, I can never pronounce his name.
Yeah.
The director of Jurassic World is going to be directing episode 9. Did you guys see Jurassic World? What do you think his vision can bring to the Star Wars universe?
I did not see Jurassic World. So, I plan to.
Cool.
When I have a little time.
I understand.
So I can't really, I can't speculate at all. I didn't see it. I haven't seen any of his other stuff, so. Yeah.
So, John, did you see Jurassic World? Did you like it?
I did. I hated it.
I hated it?
His soft, gentle hatred.
Yeah. It was because I just hated it. Everyone else was having a great time.
Yeah.
And I went with like 12 people to see it, 12 of my friends. And thank God the person sitting next to me felt the same way.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there looking at each other going, why is everyone enjoying it? We are going inside. Like, we were ripping the plot holes apart.
Yeah. I thought it was a like really competent spectacle. Like it was really big, fun thing that kept moving. It avoided, it avoided some of the pitfalls, which for me, in my writer's brain, sometimes that's the way I look at a movie of like, well, it didn't make these three horrible mistakes that I thought it was going to, so good job.
But I
don't think for me it had a ton of soul, a ton of heart.
It was definitely just popcorn flick. It wasn't as intelligent as the first one, but it was something to kind of satiate the Jurassic Park crowd. Like, we don't know very much about the episode 7, so looking forward to see how much he can affect this story by episode 9.
But really
early.
I think
still five years out.
I think the biggest thing though is comparing him to Rian Johnson. The movies that he has previously made are incredibly thoughtful and complex and have a lot of heart.
Right.
So it makes sense because they've both proven themselves with blockbusters, but it is also kind of a weird contrast in generally the fare that they've made.
Yeah.
But for me, the big takeaway of that revelation is, we're going to have different directors and they'll have a little bit of input, but this is Kathleen Kennedy's trilogy then.
Right.
This is Disney's trilogy.
Yeah.
This is Lawrence Kasdan's trilogy probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it makes me feel more like this whole, it's going to be very much from that team behind the scenes. Like, these are producer movies not necessarily director movies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like, right? Like, JJ's not... JJ's going to do this one, and then he's stepping back. And I don't know how much input he's going to have on the overall trilogy, because you're right. It seems Kathleen has been a very upfront person from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, she is the person that you're seeing with JJ all the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just her.
Yeah.
You know,
and you think that she has that same sort of Bob Iger presence where she can say, like, bye-bye, get off the stage now, JJ, and I'll write you a check later.
Yeah.
Totally. But I'm in charge.
There's two things that I think about the Trevorrow thing. It's... I don't know why we have to announce it so soon. There could be any number of directors that will come out next 3 years that are wonderful that you could hand this franchise off to and could do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
He did a great job. I mean, like, obviously, the box office backs up that people liked what he did with Jurassic World.
Yeah.
But I think what gives me hope is – a new hope? Is is Kathleen Kennedy and JJ and all the people involved with that the franchise now – will take care of him if there's any kind of missteps. And I'm glad we got the Trank thing out of there, because that could have been really catastrophic.
And they have to be actually extra careful now of, like, we are not going to Trank ourselves.
It's going to become a
with any of our directors. Yeah.
We got Tranked.
To me, I think part of the, the tweet he did himself. And I know he deleted.
You're right.
The tweet he did himself. I would not say anything against him unless he sent out that tweet of, like, I understand. That sucks when somebody else gets in, the studio gets in and messes up your movie, but you can't tweet it.
He could have gone the high road and he did career seppuku instead.
Yeah, I mean, talk about the way the world works now. Like, he deleted it really fast. It's like, you can't. Yeah.
You can't delete anything from the internet?
To me, I think the revelation of the third director, it's important who the director is, but to me, it's more important just saying, here are all three directors. Because now we're really clearly saying, it's not that we're unhappy with JJ, so we're replacing him.
Yeah.
And then there's not speculation of, well, who's the third one going to be if you're not happy with this guy? This is now very clearly, like, this is a firm decision we made that it's going to have each episode's going to have a different director.
Yeah.
And they already have an idea of, well, I mean, they clearly have the scripts already, so they know how somebody's going to develop that, or they have at least a rough outline of the whole trilogy.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, what kind of a thing do we want to impart with this, and what director and writer do we need in order to do that? So they have a very clear message and a very clear
path. I hadn't thought of it that way, of like how much they know about the film. So maybe it really is, like, maybe the third one is just going to be kind of an explosion of action and battles. Yeah. Maybe it's just going to have a different shape where it's not as much of sort of like resolving the theme like Return of the Jedi and Revenge of the Sith, where maybe it's going to be much more about the sort of Star Wars version of dinosaur stomping.
Explosions.
Yeah. Explosions. Yes.
Yes.
Say it loud, say it proud. So another big revelation was the Rogue One cast, the full cast, and the photo. So did you guys have thoughts, reactions to that? What was that like in the room when it was announced, guys?
I mean, cheers.
Nerdgasms?
Yeah.
Sure. There was like, oh, my God.
I half expected, to be perfectly honest, I half expected for them to show the little bit that they showed at Celebration. Or to show something a little bit more than just
trailer.
The cast announcement.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff, we got a lot of Star Wars information this weekend. I was hoping for a little bit more from the motion picture panel, but at the same time, we got a lot. Yeah.
It really seemed like you guys, that we as Star Wars fans at D23, nobody got like a meal. Everybody just got like these are a lot of appetizers that add up to a meal.
Well, it was like this. Somebody asked for lobster, but they got filet mignon instead, which was the park announcement.
So it
was more about the Disney side of Star Wars as opposed to the Star Wars side of Star Wars, which is fine, which is great. I was hoping for more, but I'm still very happy with what we got.
The
photo's like, oh, cool. There's our team.
Did people have a lot of reactions with their discussion on the ground of what is contained in the photo, or was it really just pretty much, that's really cool, now let's talk about the theme park?
it was, the photo wasn't up there for very long.
Neither was the cast list.
No.
Okay.
Like, I was five names in because I was doing notes for it to write an article on it. It was five names in when they took the cast list down. Mm-hmm. And that's usually not that long.
Right.
It's usually
but there
long.
Was like 10 people on that slide.
So, but I think everyone around me was really excited from the vibe that the picture gave you, which is still in that gritty kind of, you know,
dark
one-off type thing, a heist film.
Yeah. They look like kind of tired, depressed people getting ready to do a scary thing, which is, I think, a really great message for what we know about the movie.
Yeah.
How did you guys feel about the sort of the bigger names, the names that are associated with other properties? Like, you know, we got some Firefly action in our Star Wars now, and we got some Hannibal action in our Star Wars now. How do you guys feel about the revelation of those actors?
I love it. I love Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads,
I think he's fantastic. I'm really excited that he's in it.
Yeah. And Alan Tudyk, too. Yeah. I mean, those guys are all, I think that's how you say it, right?
Or yes.
It's Tudyk or Tudyk.
Tudyk. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It's a choose your own adventure last name, I think, at this point.
I apologize. But yeah, all the names. What I liked is that every cast member on this is kind of not in the mainstream. They're kind of off, just off, but they do fantastic work.
Yeah, I was going to say they're powerhouses. Yeah. Like, they're fantastic actors.
Exactly. And that they're in a team lets mm-hmm. you know that it's each one of them is going to have their moment. It's almost like an Ocean's 11 type thing where they mm-hmm. have all these fantastic actors that are going to have their own moments at certain times, and you wanted them to be really good actors so because they're not going to get a lot of moments. And
yeah.
they have to carry those moments to make the overall picture work. So I thought it was great. I didn't have a complaint about anybody they cast.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Agreed.
And do you guys feel, though, do you like seeing people who are super branded from another geek property? Does that ever get to the point where it's going to weird you out in Star Wars? Because we saw a little bit of that in the prequels.
Right.
But it was certainly like not, you know, people in the original trilogy were not associated, you know, we didn't have this world where that person is from Firefly.
Right.
And I know he's doing a motion capture character, so we're not going to see his face. But if we do just have somebody, you know, if like, you know, Kiefer Sutherland just walked in and is like, hey, Jack Bauer's in 24 now. How do you guys feel about that? Does it make it start feeling like weird, like slash fiction?
I don't know. You put a little crook stick in Mads Mikkelsen's hands and I think we're going to be fine. I don't know. I wonder who's going to play an established character, who's going to be a new character.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Mads Mikkelsen, I don't know why his name is escaping me, but he had one of the best action figures. Crix Maydene?
Yeah. You think he's
got the comb over.
He's got the comb over, but he could be his evil twin. He's got the comb over, but yeah.
Crooked Maydene?
Yeah, Crix Maydene is a sandy blonde hero, not a dark evil villain like Hannibal.
But that's the thing, is we have these ideas of what sort of characters these actors play, and they could totally play with that by flipping the script on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've never seen Hannibal, mm-hmm. But I've seen Mads in a number of, mm-hmm. of his Dutch films or European films.
Yeah,
and I've loved
Great in Casino
work.
Royale. Yeah.
Yeah,
that too. But also Valhalla Rising, all these different mm-hmm. films where he's really, like you said, a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And so for me, I don't connect him to Hannibal. He's a good actor that moves in between. And Firefly is not that big to me that it's a rivaling. It's rivaling a Star Wars franchise is what I mean. And so I mean, if it would have been like Zachary Quinto or Chris Pine,
okay,
maybe. But I think with Tudyk, because he's so versatile.
He's done a ton of stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't. If it was Fillion, then maybe. Right.
Yeah. I guess, you know, from my perspective, I saw the news on Twitter as, you know, holy blank, Wash is going to be in Star Wars.
Well, no
and
wonder.
I think that there is a fan presence where I think Firefly filled a sort of void while Star Wars wasn't as popular.
No, absolutely.
So that people associate him with. But he's going to be motion capture. So what do you want him to be? Do you want him to be an alien, a droid? Do you want him to be like a motion capture version of Nathan Fillion?
Next best thing. I mean, if he's motion capture, then he's going to be an alien. But what will be? It will be the question. Either way, he's going to be super expressive. Disney loves him. No, seriously, Disney loves him. Like ever since he started doing, I think the first one he did was Wreck-It Ralph. Or he might have been in one before. Yeah, it was King Candy in that.
King Candy,
and he was just insane.
Was cool.
But Disney loves how expressive and how much of a character he can be. So I don't think we're going to see any of Wash in him.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was in Suburgatory, also a Disney property on ABC. Yeah. So I mean, the guy works with them.
Yeah.
Cool. So, should we move on to some video game news?
We should. The interactive panel yesterday was short, sweet, one of the most organized. Because the other ones were going half an hour over. Two of the biggest pieces of news that we got were about Star Wars Battlefront. There's going to be an exclusive PlayStation 4 with Darth Vader's visage on the side. And they gave two out. They pulled a moment of reach under your chairs, and if you have a golden ticket under your chair. And everybody was ripping off the please do not remove tag. Yeah. Like, I got it. Whoop. They had to clean all that up.
A piece of chair is under your chair. Please don't destroy it.
Oh, we know. So they announced that. They showed the trailer for their dogfighting mode, where it's going to be just spaceship battles.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Did it look really good?
It did. And it's going to work similar to the standard Battlefront modes, where if you earn enough points from enough kills, you can summon a special vehicle. So you can get into the Millennium Falcon. You can get into Darth Vader's TIE Fighter. You can get into Slave One. Just like how in the regular thing, you can be Vader, Fett,
or Luke,
cool,
et cetera, et cetera.
But you have to work for it.
Okay. It's not just like, oh, I found it, I got it, and then you just crash immediately.
Right. You have to be Krixmadian spice freighter
kind of,
for 3 hours.
They showed the Star Wars Battlepod arcade cabinet, we found out that the Dave & Buster's in Los Angeles has one.
Right.
They announced it at the panel. It's like, if you want to play it, it's at Dave & Buster's.
So it's there right now?
It's there right now.
Okay.
It's a wrap screen where you get put into a starfighter and you fight in the different dog battles. And
they had one there at the convention. I was doing a piece and my friend was in line, texted me. And so we talked to him before he went in and then after he came out of the game. And we watched the game. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, if you bought it, it literally is like this. The screen is like this, so you are absolutely, that's all you see.
So, like, I would watch you go in, and then, like, 50 years later, you would step out with a beard, malnourished.
Yeah. Absolutely malnourished. I don't know, like, intravenous fluids or whatever. I mean, it was so amazing. And what you said about Battlefront, about the fighter mode, all of it just, it's so amazing what they're able to do now, and how, what we're able to, like, I think I'm just getting to that point where I can't quite handle it visually.
Yeah.
Because it's so much, but kids are just like, no problem. But for me, it's like it's getting to that point. So I'm hanging on my fingernails and enjoying the hell out of it.
Aside from Battlefront, we got a little bit more information about Disney Infinity 3.0, which comes out in 2 weeks. Go to your local retailer and pick it up. They announced.
Are they giving you money?
I wish they were. I really do.
You sound like Bryce Dallas Howard.
Those figures can get expensive when you buy them all. Right. They announced a special edition of all of the lightsabered characters. There's going to be a glow effects version of every single one sold separately that when you put them on the little base to play them, they're lightsaber glows.
Wow.
So it's cool, but it's extra.
So an incredibly expensive nightlight.
Yeah, kind of. Obi-Wan, Yoda, Anakin, and Darth Vader, Luke, and I'm forgetting one, but Ahsoka.
Yeah. But not Finn.
But not Finn.
Okay.
And then they revealed the Twilight of the Republic trailer, which revealed that Cad Bane and Darth Maul are going to be the two big bad guys in that campaign.
Yeah.
So we're going to, I couldn't recognize the voice, so I'm pretty sure it's the same one from the cartoon for Darth Maul, but Cad Bane didn't speak. Hopefully they announce him as a figure, but they have not yet. And the last little bit of news from Infinity was they finally showed a little bit of the Force Awakens set, and they brought out the actors as well.
Yeah.
How they actually got to talk this time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daisy and John came out with their little figures and got a chance to actually talk about the capture process.
Yeah.
And was it interesting? Or was it sort of like, we wear balls. Everybody knows how this goes now. We wear balls. That's motion capture, right?
It's the first time where...
Am I wrong?
They're actually... All of the characters featured in the Force Awakens playset are going to be voiced by the actors themselves. So it's not going to be a secondary voice. It's going to be them... Actually,
cool. So wait a minute. Is Harrison Ford doing this?
Well, no, for the Force Awakens set.
Okay,
because in the old ones they have the guy who does all of. The...
Okay, right. So it's only kind of the new people being introduced within this. Yeah, okay, excellent. And only sort of the stuff that's already really out there. Rey and Finn. And...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Rey and Finn were the only characters announced and confirmed. It showed again Rey's staff. It wasn't super detailed, but it was like an alpha model. Kind of that they printed out just for the expo, and Finn had a rifle, so it might have just been something to, like, hey, look, they exist, but then they're going to change by the time they get released in the fall.
Okay, cool,
a lot of fun news.
Yeah.
Now I know you're a video gamer from way back. Are you
back?
Are you into the new games? Do you want these new games?
I am.
Is
into
it a
them.
Generational thing?
I feel like it's a little generational. My youngest sisters are amazing gamers with the new stuff. I still have my Nintendo 64 plugged in.
Respect.
Rogue Squadron. Mm-hmm.
Rogue Squadron.
Squadron, the best. Also, let me mention this, because I maybe you guys have played this. Masters of Tarascasi?
No.
Do you remember that game?
The fighting game.
Yes.
It was so bad.
I still have it.
Is
and
it
no
N64
one ever knows. No, it's PlayStation 2.
Okay.
Yeah. But no one...
PlayStation 1.
I have it on 2.
All right, then I'm done.
It could be available on both.
It could be.
Yeah, so I still have all that, you know, and I played Battlefront a little bit at E3 this year.
Oh, So jealous.
And it's just beautiful. Like, it's just like...
It looks real.
Yeah, it sounds like my fears are being assuaged about Battlefront, because I think sometimes in the past when Star Wars has tried to do both ground battle and space battle, one has really, really suffered. Yeah. But it seems like they're really putting their time and energy
The vehicle battles are a part of the ground battles, so that you can... Well, it's not... in the same battle, but you can again earn enough points to get into a TIE fighter, get into an X-wing, and fly around. So once they had that in place, it was like, oh well, let's just get rid of the first part and just make it about vehicle battles.
Yeah.
Did you get to you didn't get into a speeder or a TIE fighter or anything?
No.
I'm
not that good.
I'm just deeply scarred from the final Rogue Squadron, which I believe was for the GameCube. Which they tried to introduce running around on the ground, and the most difficult part of that entire game was trying to get Han into the elevator on the Death Star. You had to line them up just right, and the doors wouldn't open. It's like, I hate that in video games. You're like, you play them to feel like, oh, I'm Han Solo. And like, I'm Han Solo, and I can't get into an elevator. And I just don't want that for Battlefront. No elevator challenges.
You won't get that in Battlefront. You won't get that in Infinity either. And that's the one, I mentioned it on the E3 podcast that we did. That's the one where you can, like, the battles are fun, and they're great, and I'm very excited for Battlefront. But in Infinity, you get a chance to be Han Solo during the movies that we all love. You
awesome.
Get to be Luke Skywalker, you get to be Chewbacca, you get to be Darth Vader, who's the most fun character to play as.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that I like about Infinity, is it's a little bit more of the character identification, where, like, Battlefront, you can be your own soldier, but in Infinity, it's like, no, I'm Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And you're living out his moments.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He's like, this is me. I'm making the choice.
Cool. That's great.
That's really cool.
The other cool thing they did was those four games that they're bringing back for
the Darth Vader PS4. Which games are they bringing?
I got them. Super Star Wars is coming back.
Which is surprising. Yeah. They got a Super Nintendo property.
Oh, that's really cool.
To bring it back onto the thing.
I still have it.
Yeah.
In its box.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I found it when I went home this past Christmas, and I was like...
It's still...
And when you found that figure, and you told Ken about the figure...
Oh, yeah.
That's the way I felt when I found the video. I was like, oh my God, I still have this!
It's still really hard.
Yeah.
It's still very hard.
It's very, very difficult. I like it a lot. So, I like the original Star Wars, too, where they had for actual Nintendo, the first one, the 8-bit, where they just had giant heads and could run fast.
Yeah, that's right.
So the announcement was, with the PlayStation 4, with the Darth Vader PlayStation 4, you get Super Star Wars, you get Pod Racer Revenge, Star Wars Bounty Hunter, and Star Wars Jedi Starfighter.
Yeah, and they're upgraded for now, for now.
Yeah, and I could be wrong about this. I'm sure fans will tell me, but my perception is those are games that were relatively popular, but not like that seminal one where everybody played them.
Right.
So it's really cool to introduce those. So if you kind of missed them, that they sounded like they were good games, but not ones where everybody is like, oh my God, this is the best game ever.
I'm going to have to sell my Arkham Knight PS4.
You'll get plenty of money.
I just bought it as I want to get this thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice. So I think that's about it from news from the HoloNet.
Yep.
I think we'll move on to a fun little section today. Today is my birthday.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you. I'm 67 years old today.
Don't look a day under 66.
Oh, thank you. I feel 66, though, so I feel really good about that. So I wanted to ask each of you, just to kind of a round robin, if you could have your own birthday party in the Star Wars universe, what would your Star Wars birthday be? Of all the planets, the characters, where would you go? What would you do?
Well, I mean, the Ewoks know how to throw a party, right? Like, first of all, there's probably amazing zip lining going on, I'm just assuming.
Right. And they can set it up really fast.
Real fast.
Yeah, so zip lining.
There's going to be a barbecue. I love barbecue.
You never know what's going to be on the menu.
Yeah, I want Darth Vader there, obviously.
What?
Oh, his helmet will be.
No, he's the barbecue.
You're
he's
saying.
The bonfire.
So you want to have to pick the meat out of the cybernetic parts.
It's like a bowl. Just break up two little pieces
like
of metal.
Little,
it's like chopsticks.
Like
it's a sort of walk Vader.
Yeah. Your lack of meat.
Oh, walk Vader. That's a good idea.
Your lack of meat is disturbing.
And they would make you a dress and do your hair like they did for Leia.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
And they are good hosts.
Yeah. Dude, I think that'd be a blast.
Cool.
My choice is Alderaan before it got blown up. I bet it was an awesome place to be. And with Leia, I mean, I would have loved to have Leia there at my party. So I would like to have a nice, fun, lavish affair with some Alderaan karaoke afterwards. Like, I just have a feeling that was a fun planet to be on before the Empire destroyed it.
Right. It was probably classy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was
classy.
You could hang out. Like, Bail could come over and be like, you know, we brought you the cake. it seemed like it was a pretty cool planet. So that would be my, that'd be my choice.
Oh, I love, we've talked about this before. I like Bale's line when it's clear that the clone troopers are not going to allow him to enter the temple. And they're saying, it's time to go. And he says, and so it is. And I just imagine you getting really drunk at your birthday party. Like, it's time to go, Bale. And so it is.
And so it is.
Mark, what would your
this
would
is
your
a hard choice because I like the idea of like a vacation getaway. You go to like a nice Naboo. You have like a it's like a nice vacation tour. You get a whole package.
Yeah.
But I think it would probably
Lake District.
It'll be more realistic if it's just like what are we. Let's see. Let's get as many people to the cantina as we can. Let's see who's playing tonight. Everybody just don't worry about presents. Everybody just buy me drinks.
They don't have reserved seating, so we can all just mill around.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. Not Jabba's Palace. That seems like a kind of a couple of week affair where you just kind of get lost.
Yeah, that's like just saying, like, I'm going to go hang out with the Hell's Angels, even though I don't know them for my birthday.
They seem like nice
people.
They'll
be okay with that, right?
You may get B. Arthur to sing to you. That's always there.
Yeah, it is hard because we see some entertainment in the Star Wars universe. We see restaurants, but there aren't a lot of like classy places to go to, so it does get down to the cantina. But the thing that I thought like maybe would be a fun event is to get like box seats at a pod race.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because that was the only other like actual event that you could think of.
Well, what was that show that Sheev and Anakin were at in episode 3? Was that some weird opera?
Yes. That's the Mon Calamari opera.
Yeah.
And I read about that before it happened. I was so excited because I thought, like, oh, we're actually going to see, like, race like Admiral Akbar swimming around. And it's so far and distant. And I've, like, paused and, like, And
Enhance.
Yes, I have to. That's my favorite scene in the prequels. But I am disappointed by the quality of the ballet itself.
You'd be an amazing art critic in this.
So I'd much rather be in my private box seats with my wife and a couple of good friends watching the pod race. And I bet they serve some sort of really good Tatooine or Jakku beer at pod races.
That's just a great image of you. I just got this great image of you sitting in a box seat going, no.
Yeah.
This is terrible. The art critic.
This is a horrible ballet.
The art critic.
I do have a background in theater, so I can judge Mon Calamari opera ballet. Okay, so that's great. Great birthday. Should we move on to Duel of the Fates?
I was waiting for the cue. Whatever. right. Yes. There it is.
Now beautiful. We will do our dance that I spoke of. Our traditional. Our animated GIF moment of Jedi Alliance. So last week's question we asked, and we'll pose it to you guys as well, and then we'll let you guys know how you, the fans, reacted. Our question last week, we had a Romance in Space episode, so it was, if Anakin and Padme did not have to hide their relationship, would Anakin still have turned to the dark side? You weren't here last week, Mark. What do you think?
I have to say, yeah. There was nothing that Palpatine wouldn't have done in order to get his way, so much like the droids not happening when we talked about a couple weeks ago, this would have happened. It just would have taken a little bit longer.
Right. John?
I don't think it would have happened. I think if it's been out there, she has more access to him, she can go with him to more places, so she can work just as powerfully on the other side to convince him not to go. And I don't want to speak out of turn, but sometimes when you got a lot of anger inside you, a good woman who understands that can ride you through it and get you out of it is really important. And so, like, I think she seemed very like a very strong, powerful woman who could, and with goodness, who could drag him out of it, I feel like, eventually.
Awesome. Claudia, the person who wants to be Darth Vader's girlfriend.
Yeah, I think he would still turn. Like, and why would Anakin so annoying? Yeah.
So you just feel like it is intrinsic to his personality that no matter what, he is angry, or as some people sometimes say, whiny, anger.
Super whiny.
And you want him to turn.
I want him to turn, yeah.
Right, if you were Padme, you'd be like, oh yeah, kill those kids.
Let's go, all of them.
Kill them all.
Sorry, kids.
Just make sure, just push me over, just don't make sure I land in the lava.
All the way this time.
Yeah.
So yes, in general, the audience agreed with you. There were a couple of people who thought, like, yes, having Padme there, having Obi-Wan be able to have more access to him and know what's really going on in his life would have helped him more. Maybe having kids would have, like, calmed him down and changed him.
Usually does.
But the overwhelming response agreed with you, Mark, and you, Claudia, that, yes, eventually Emperor Palpatine would have found a way. And this was really interesting. Post this on our Facebook page on Jedi Alliance, and then people comment. There was a considerable amount of people calling him Sheev. So I don't know if this felt like a more personal issue of like, Sheev would find a way.
So,
yes, Sheev, Palpatine's first name. So the overwhelming response was, yes, he has too much anger. Eventually he will. And Palpatine, Sheev Palpatine would find a way.
Sheevy-P.
Sheevy-P. You make him sound like a building material. What was his building built with? Sheevy-P.
Sheevy-P.
And I want to give a special shout out to Chris Miller, a fan who summed up Anakin's obsession with Padme by saying, as someone once sang, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Right.
Included a beautiful picture of Darth Vader, his lightsaber replaced with a flower.
Beautiful.
And then had a well-reasoned argument about the fact that Anakin was not just in love with her, but was obsessed.
Yeah.
And sure. that wouldn't have changed if the relationship was out there.
So for this week's Duel of Fates, we're looking forward to the next couple of movies. If you could cast any actor in an upcoming Star Wars film, who would you cast and in what role?
Your evil laughter.
This has been a fight on our show.
Okay.
Between Tiffany and I, because I believe that Michael Fassbender would be an awesome Kanan.
Oh man.
And she's like, no, it has to be Freddie Prinze. It has to be Freddie Prinze. And I'm like, no. Freddie Prinze is not. I like Freddie Prinze. Love Freddie Prinze. I think he's awesome.
He's doing
dad.
A great job on Rebels. Yeah.
As a voiceover actor, he's doing a great job. I think for the Kanan and the way they've built the comic book up, I think Fassbender would be amazing.
So you'd want Fassbender to like maybe show up.
As an older Kanan. Yeah. More already having gone through the stuff with Ezra and everything else, and just more like wherever he's at in his life, wherever they want to put him in the story. Yeah.
Cool.
I can see that in Rogue One.
Possible. There were rumors that, who's the older actor in that's going to be? Max von Sydow. There were rumors that he's supposed to be Kanan.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. That would be really interesting. Wow. Yeah. That would be a hell of a story that he survived all through the original trilogy and just didn't lift a finger. Thanks, Kanan.
No, the Order. I was scared about the Order. I didn't know what was going on. Stuck in a transport ship.
Excellent. Claudia.
My boyfriend. In any role.
Your actual actor. Real life, not Darth Vader. Your real life boyfriend.
Kai Erickson.
Yeah.
You know, in a movie?
He's great. He's a great guy and a great actor.
But I really like that. I hadn't thought about that, but I love Michael Fassbender. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna tag along with you.
Okay.
And would you like him to play Kanan or somebody else?
Yeah, no, I think that'd be perfect.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read the comics, it seems like it'd be perfect.
I think it's perfect.
Cool. Well, I sort of cheated a little bit in that my first choice is Ewan McGregor, because I want the Star Wars Stories movie. I want that Obi-Wan Kenobi movie and the Star Wars Stories, I guess they're being called now, instead of Star Wars Anthology.
That's what it said, but I'm not sure if that's...
Was that an announcement at D23?
No, they just said we're just announcing the Star Wars story film.
Cool.
Star Wars Story is all they
call it. Yeah. So Ewan McGregor is my first choice. But then I was also trying to think, like, I really like that Ian McDiarmid in a couple other actors were great actors, but also kind of over the top and did a little bit of chewing the scenery. So I was trying to think of actors who might chew the scenery a little bit. So I was thinking maybe Vince Vaughn.
After
I saw what he did in True Detective Season 2.
Are you sure?
Okay. I'm sort of fascinated. Ewan McGregor's my real answer, but my sort of fun answer is Vince Vaughn, because he might be the perfect amount of good and just a little like, what is he going to do or say next? Right. What weird choice is he going to make? Might make him really exciting.
Well, which character, right? You're supposed to say which character?
I would say a Sith of some kind. Like, because we've never really seen the Sith with...
sense of humor?
The Sith we've always seen with the sort of like, I am a creature of destiny. This is what's supposed to happen. It will be. So we haven't seen any Sith that ever do this sort of modern trope of the villain's a little crazy.
Right.
And maybe we'll see that with Kylo Ren. But that would be really interesting to see him as an evil, as a Sith,
legit or, insane,
or like a Grand Moff Tarkin, like just somebody like, you shouldn't be in charge, but you are.
How did this happen?
Yeah,
who did you have to kill? I thought the mine was kind of a fun answer, but then when I really thought about it, I was like, oh, that would be kind of interesting. We've seen him don a sort of prosthesis on the mouth before that affects his breathing. Tom Hardy is Cad Bane.
Oh,
make him super imposing. He's already done the talking thing with Bane, and it's already in the name.
With makeup or with balls?
With makeup.
Motion capture.
Makeup.
Make it
prosthetics and makeup.
Nice.
You're terrible.
He's obsessed with balls.
You can't guess, but I'm going to make all kinds of balls. References.
But I think he would bring a presence to Cad Bane that could rival what it is in the cartoon.
You know, there's no way that would ever happen.
Oh, at all. No, whatsoever.
Of Bane, people would destroy him.
Yeah. After an hour of speculation, John Roke is enough. That's half the things you guys said are not going to happen, and I've been keeping my mouth shut out of politeness.
No, I just mean that would just be a hell of a thing to pull off.
Man. It was, but it's Star Wars.
The stigma of Bane with him is just huge.
Yeah. I mean, in the voice choice, whether it was his or not,
people were making reference to it in Mad Max that he was going into the Bane voice.
There was a couple of lines where he was super raspy and was like, "That's Bane."
Yeah.
But his presence, and even if they just post change it to the mechanical, like they did in Batman, but not as raspy or like just his voice.
Yeah.
But mechanical would be cool.
Cool. Well, we're gonna wrap up our episode. Thank you guys so much for doing it. Wanted to give yourself a quick plug. Tell people your social media and anything you want to plug real quick.
Yeah, at The Roka Says. I'm on Instagram and Twitter there. And I host the Top 10 show on the Schmozno YouTube Podcast Network, far, far away on Geek Nation.
Claudia?
At Geek Girl Authority on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. We're going to be at Dragon Con. We're going to be at Kamikaze. And we're going to be at New York City Comic Con.
Cool.
Nice.
Mark?
And you can find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. This weekend, going to be going to New York to covering the the entirety of SummerSlam weekend. You can find me here on Popcorn Talk doing Do Games Make Good Movies? Surprise answer, most of the time they don't, but it's fun to talk about anyway.
Awesome. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw. You can find me on social media at Joseph Scrimshaw, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those things. I also do a lot of performances, doing a bunch of performances at Dragon Con. So if you're at Dragon Con in Atlanta, come find me there. And watch our show, Jedi Alliance, on YouTube by subscribing to youtube.com/poptornnetwork. You can also see all the other awesome Popcorn Talk shows there and catch the Jedi Alliance on iTunes and rate and review us there, please. You can also visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes in which I might have said balls. I don't remember.
Balls.
All the Jedi Alliance episodes of the past. Links there to both iTunes and YouTube. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.